Good morning, Teachers on Fire. How are you on this fine morning? I hope you are feeling refreshed. I hope you had a great sleep after another week of teaching. And if you're entering Thanksgiving break, I wish you well. I hope you have a period of rejuvenation and refreshment and you have an opportunity to regain that fire if that has been a little bit lost in the last few weeks. Sometimes that happens. Well, I am here to recapture and review the top posts of the week from EducationX. So let's jump right into it, shall we? I've got a post here from Tierney Kennedy, and I'm going to fire up the lo-fi music here. She says, how would you creatively reduce teachers' workload and stress without reducing students' learning? Such a great question, right? Such an important question to ask continually. She says, I'll start, and please add your ideas. Pay non-teachers to cover all playground duty so teachers can eat and go to the bathroom. Not a bad idea, Tierney. I like this one. My only concern, of course, is that in some way the pay that goes toward whoever is covering the playground duty takes away from teacher pay. We don't want to reduce teacher pay. So however that works, as long as there is budget for it. Another one from the author, she says, in primary school, do we really need to know if kids are an A for art rather than just achieving the standard? Have grades for maths and English, possibly science, but stop that for the other curriculum areas. Reduce marking load to focus on teaching. I don't disagree with that either. There's a lot we could say about that particular one. Let's keep going. She says, a lot of you have suggested smaller classes and more teachers. I'm 100% with you, but how is that possible when we can't even fill the vacancies we have? There has to be a way right now to make it better so that we attract more teachers who quit back to the classroom. Alice Keeler pops in here to say, it's so crazy the lack of time to just take a breath and go to the bathroom teachers have. Highly trained professionals with advanced certificates should be treated with more respect of their time. I'll die on this hill. And the author's back with a third. What would you like me to stop spending time on in order to start spending time on this new thing? Fair enough. Let's get a few other answers before we move on. Coach Day says, change the day so instructional minutes happen on a more condensed schedule. But students were at school longer with more play, discovery, and inquiry offered by volunteers or paid paraprofessionals. Kids get more safe play. Teachers spend more time planning, reflecting, and collaborating. The Lasso Way, that's an interesting name, says half-day Thursdays, where students have interest-based enrichment classes or structured play, and teachers get a block of planning. Not bad. Glinda Hall says, admin should do lunch and playground duties and other non-classroom staff. Tierney says, I've seen this done pretty frequently in a bunch of schools. The senior leadership, too, as much of that as they could. I'm worried they are about to burn out, though. Lots of ideas on this thread. Definitely recommend it. We've got a comment in this morning already from Nayla Felix Mitchell on LinkedIn. Thanks for joining us, Nayla. Or Nyla, we as non-teachers are already out on the playground. Teachers are having their lunch. Non-teaching staff are hardly getting breaks. Why is this even a solution? All right, fair enough. Good pushback. Thank you for that comment. Appreciate that. Before we move on, I feel like we should read one or two more. Let's see what else is in this thread. Brandon says, introduce flex days where students engage in self-directed or online learning projects. You could have them once or twice every marking period. This would give teachers scheduled days to catch up on planning and grading. Okay. I'm wondering about who is supervising students during these flex days, but fair enough. That sounds good. And then this account makes me laugh. The Pensive Canadian. Count special education students as 1.5 or 2 students when creating class rosters. That way they end up in smaller classes and everyone can get the attention they deserve. Okay. All right. Interesting idea. The author of the post, Tierney Kennedy, says this is a great idea. I know some schools that do this more intuitively than mathematically. Okay. We'll see if... So Naila L.E.? I'm probably still not doing it right, Naila, but thank you for that. We'll have to talk off air sometime, or maybe have you on the show. How about that? If you are an active educator, would love to speak with you. And that's my interview show coming up on the podcast in 25 minutes. Moving on in the conversation around the top posts on EducationX this year, Dr. Matt Rhodes says, 5 years ago, I was against phone bans in K-12. Fast forward to 2023, I am for every single K-12 school to ban phones. I like it. So, yes, he's done an about-face. Friends, I have as well. I'm right there as well. Let me see if I can change the view on this. Yes, so I used to be, well, I've always been a technophile. I've been a big fan of technology in the classroom and giving technology to students, allowing them to use technology to learn, access more resources, and represent their learning creatively. All of that is wonderful, but these phones are killing us, and I see it not in my own school, because thankfully my own school does have an effective ban, but I see it in all of these posts on EducationX, I see it in blog posts, I see it on YouTube. Teachers are literally quitting and naming the phone scourge as one of the reasons why they are leaving the profession. So I think we need to change course with the phone. Students can have, you know, they can have access to computers and Chromebooks and iPads. In different ways, those devices serve the student better, I think. But these phones, we've got to get them out of the schools. I'm curious to see responses. Let's look at this first one. Jamie Sunshine says, other than just saying we don't allow phones, how does a school enforce this policy with parents? Asking as a teacher who agrees with this policy but is uncertain how to move forward. And yes, Dr. Matt Rhodes just says, takes a community effort. Let's move on, but I think that is a big one that is going to continue to come up in the conversation. Roy Smith at English_Roy, there we go. One of the first guests on the Teachers on Fire podcast, so quite a legend. I know he is a cancer survivor and such a thought-provoking educator. Says we need to make space for students to write without the fear of a grade. Not everything needs a grade. Not everything needs a grade. Amen to that. Marcus Luther is here. And I want to back up, actually, and go to this post. Here we go. He says, I believe that every let's try that again. He says that I believe that every teacher should have multiple systems in their classroom for affirming or celebrating students outside of their traditional grades and feedback. Keyword systems. Yes, plural, as in something you can do regularly and hold yourself accountable to. So here are three systems, he says, that I use regularly. Anonymous peer nominations for wall signing. I like that because it puts it on the students and they are celebrating each other's work. I have questions about how they are seeing each other's work, but let's keep going. Bragging on cool student sentences, see pics, and a tracker for student strengths for family brags. A lot, yes, but at the start of the year, it's a lot, not once you get rolling with them. So he says it gets easier with time. This looks like the top quotes, bragging on cool student sentences. This one right over here and over here. Maybe some of the same, I'm not sure. But at any rate, some great ideas. Really like these three ideas. And anything we can offload to students to have them celebrating their peers, I think is a big win for class culture and climate and teacher sustainability, teacher energy as well. Che Cheney is here. And just checking in with the comments, we've got another one from Naila. She says, I agree with smaller class sizes, especially when we have a great number of special needs students joining our classes. I also believe with the needs of students in general, there should be an additional adult in the classroom to help students with their learning. Absolutely. And we're calling those, in my context at least, we're sort of making a distinction between EAs, the educational assistants, or often they're called paraprofessionals, and CAs, classroom assistants. And so the idea would be, in very broad, simple terms, we would say that educational assistants generally would have more training, specialization, classroom assistants, just simply having a helpful adult in the room who has their own set of intuitive experience skills to support the learning of students and support the teacher's instruction just makes so much sense. So again, it all requires more funding. It all comes back to money. But if we can get more people into the classroom, I think that is a win for teachers and for students, of course. Thank you so much for joining us today, Naila, on LinkedIn. Tyler Rablin is here. He says, and we do have another female educator. I'm feeling the weight of all of these male educators speaking into the show. But Tyler says, an ELA team I'm working with is going to have kids put their descriptions of characters and settings into Canva's Magic Media image generator. And if the images don't turn out like they hope, they're going to add more detail to their story. I'm excited to see how it goes. I have played with Canva's AI image generator. It is very fun. Highly recommend it. Students love it. And I love this idea. I just think, what a great application of the AI image generator, especially at sort of a middle or elementary grades level, when students are working on setting and character and all of the components of a great story. Why not send them into Canva's AI image generator, or, you know, in Canva, everything AI is magic, right? So Magic Media image generator. If you haven't checked it out, give it a whirl. It doesn't work quickly enough for me to really use it on the show, but perhaps I will. Perhaps we'll take a look at that on the show some week. And then finally, Stacy Roshan at BuddyXO, another Canva tip. She says, how did nobody tell me that Canva now has a built-in equation editor? You can find Equations Beta under Canva Apps. So this is, I'm not even teaching math right now, friends, but this looks very, very helpful. If you're putting together equation exercises in your math class. Now, I realize that's going to be a higher level, generally speaking, although even middle years are getting into equations, right? Linear equations. Looks like a great generator, and you're, of course, using the resizing tools. You could match sizes, you could copy and modify, you could arrange them around the screen however you wanted to, you could create exercises, you could create something here and then put it onto Seesaw. There's so many great options for you. So again, from Stacy Roshan, a built-in equations editor. You'll find it under Canva Apps at Equations Beta. Thank you so much for that, Stacy. Friends, that brings us to the end of today's show. I hope you are active on EducationX. I hope you are getting into the conversations and plugging into the great value that so many educators, so many teachers on fire are sharing each week. And I hope you are, as I say, engaging, responding, making X a place where there are actually two-way conversations, three-way, four-way, 2,000-way conversations going on, and we're all learning from one another. That's really the idea over there on Education X. So plug in, create your account, get involved. If you're looking for people to follow, educators to follow, did I say educators? Educators to follow. Check out who I'm following on my profile at Teachers on Fire, and let's get going. Let's get started. Let's get those conversations on fire and ready to recharge educators around the world. A Facebook user is here to say, hi, Tim. Great quality video and content. Well, thank you, anonymous user. If you're not signed into Facebook or given them permission, unfortunately, I can't see your name just yet, but thank you for that. And Naila says, I'm frustrated with the lack of teachers implementing strategies in the classrooms. All right. Well, sounds like we have things to talk about, Naila. So let's get you on the podcast. Would you send me a DM and we will make that happen? I'll send you a guest intake form. And friend, if you're catching this on the replay or on the podcast, the same goes for you. If you've got a message for educators, particularly if you are actively engaged in the classroom or near the classroom, I would love to speak with you and get that on the show, get that on the Teachers on Fire podcast. And friends, we're going to leave it there. I'm going live again in 12 minutes with this week's guest on the podcast, Jason Kennedy. His motto is a little controversial. He says, let's quit teaching and start designing learning. So join us soon to hear more about that. I'm going to leave it there for this week on the top posts from Education X. Take care and keep your own fire for learning burning bright. Bye-bye. Even when you feel slow, you can still go. Even when there's no hope, you can still go. I never answer to no, man, I still go. Go, go.